Seth, have yourself a great day.
You too, my friend.
Don't go too far. You'll be back here tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. Darn it. Cancel my flight now.
We got Morning Magazine coming up right here on... Oh, Chuck, you tell him.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It's been debated since the pandemic began. Where did COVID-19 come from? Lawmakers are holding a hearing on Capitol Hill right now.
The Atlantic Council senior fellow James Metzl was blunt, blaming China for doing everything it can to block investigations into where the COVID-19 pandemic started. But Metzl says,
there can be no doubt that a research-related origin remains a very serious possibility, if not a distinct probability.
Metzl stresses that the world is entering globalization where risks are increasing, including the possibility of pandemics far worse than COVID-19. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
An update on the case of the four Americans violently kidnapped in northern Mexico. Two were killed. CBS's Omar Villafranca is in Brownsville, Texas.
Mexican officials are still investigating while U.S. officials are working to get the bodies back of the other two victims on American soil, but we don't have a timetable for that just yet.
They could go from snowbound to waterlogged in parts of California. Meteorologist Craig Allen with our affiliate WCBS.
Now we have that atmospheric river set up once again, which takes deep Pacific moisture all the way down from around the Hawaiian Island chain, takes it right on up into the west coast of the United States.
There are fears of severe flooding. Newly released court documents in Dominion's lawsuit against Fox show former President Trump spread lies about the 2020 election on purpose. And Fox host Tucker Carlson, who received hours of video from the January 6th attack, continued to spread the disinformation. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
CBS News caught up with Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who said he has no regrets about sharing video with Carlson, but is yet to release it to other news organizations.
Look, I didn't see what was aired. What I want to do exactly is give the transparency to everybody, and everybody can make up their own.
This is International Women's Day. The UN has named Taliban-ruled Afghanistan the worst country for women and girls. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Since their 2021 takeover, the Taliban have banned girls' education beyond sixth grade, banned women from most jobs, forbade them to visit parks and gyms, and ordered them to cover themselves from head to toe. The UN condemning policies that leave most women and girls prisoners in their own homes.
Prince Harry's headed to court in London. A high court has ruled his lawsuit against the publisher of the Daily Mail will go to trial in May. The Duke of Sussex alleges the tabloid Mirror Group hacked his phone. Today's announcement raises the prospect Harry could enter the witness box around the time his father, King Charles, is coronated. This is CBS News.
CBS News is brought to you by Paul Gauguin Cruises. Artfully authentic, all-inclusive year-round cruising to Tahiti and the South Pacific. Visit pggcruises.com today.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 85% water, right?
85% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients. Don't pay for water. Pay for clean.
Save $10 when you spend $30 on Tide and Downy. Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent. Must buy at least one participating Tide or Dreft detergent item, plus at least one participating Downy and or Bounce scent booster, liquid fabric softener, or dryer sheets. Prepaid card by mail. Visit pglaundryrebate.com for terms and conditions.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 40. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 28. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, chance for snow showers, highs level off around 36. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 8th, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. And you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And part two today, we're going to talk with our friends from Encourage, and we're going to welcome in the authors of Beloved Economics and talk about that great book. Right now, we have in studio with us our fantastic friends from Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina Hittner, with us in studio. Good morning, you two.
Good morning. Morning.
Good to have you guys here. How you guys been?
Good. I don't know if anyone else feels this like spring smell and the birds are sounding differently, and it's fun.
What about the spring allergies?
We'll be talking about that. Don't worry.
Nice, nice. I love a good segue. Oh, it was great. How are things going over at the shop?
We're all feeling things. That's great.
Yes.
Things are going good. I feel like we're in a little bit of that winter and a little bit of that spring vibe at the store, where we get to like still work on some of these projects we've been wanting to get done for the winter, but then we're starting to think of the projects for the spring and like the newness of the spring and what kind of it brings.
We started rolling out a lot of garden seeds. We had some stuff, you know, even a month ago, but now we've got a lot of our garden seeds in and got those set up, and you know, there's still stuff coming in, so don't if you want to see the full set, it's going to be a little while, but yeah, those things make it feel like spring, like kind of cleaning out the garden center area and putting stuff on the racks, you know.
That stuff goes so far to for our mental health and our well-being, but it's also not a bad idea when we're talking about immune systems and those kind of things, that you know, every season brings a new set of things to worry about for your allergies, your immune system, a lot of that. So every season, I imagine you guys get some new stuff in stock and some new things in the store, and it's got to be fun. You've been doing this since you were kids, so when that happens, I imagined it just in your brains, you're automatically thinking spring, thinking the next, it's got to make it feel a little warmer in the building, a little bit more spring-like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of fun that, like, the differences of the seasons and what they bring, right? Like you just said, the transition from immune health to a whole different season and different, whether it's ailments or it's things that we're just excited about, right? The garden seeds or I don't know. It's just different energy when it's springtime.
Yeah.
But which is good.
We obviously can't truly hibernate during the winter, but we kind of do. We kind of like take a back step to certain things, and we focus a little more maybe on our immune system and a lot of that stuff, staying healthy, not slipping on the ice, and a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, those are very important things.
Big things and stuff. Yep. And once it starts getting even just a little bit nicer out, we're talking like 50 degrees, 60 degrees and stuff. We're outside. We're out there. We're checking the ground. Like, is it soft enough yet to garden? Is it, you know, that kind of thing.
Actually dig? Yeah, and you can't right now, everyone. No. Like, you can get seeds and start getting prepared. We are slowly getting there, but you really can't be planting yet.
I know you guys do a great job every month of having different things going on, different sales going on in the store and everything. So is that kind of what's happening over there right now?
So we have a couple sales we definitely want to highlight. Like we did last month in February, we had some great sales at the end that we really wanted to make sure people could take advantage of for the last little bit. But some of the sales that we want to highlight, and a reminder, when you come in by the fireplace, when you walk straight in, there's this beautiful board that has our different sales that we have, as well as each individual item should have a yellow ticket in front of it, and that indicates it's on sale. So look for those. Those are two different ways when you're kind of perusing the store, and yes, there's a lot of things to look at. Look for the yellow tickets or look at the sale board. That kind of gives you a full picture for the month. But some of the ones we want to highlight is Terry Natural, his Curamin and his Extra Strength Curamin.
Yeah, it's our best-selling pain formula for years. Yeah.
Yes.
It's still the best-selling pain formula, and that's because it works good. It has money-back guarantee. and it's on sale. So we've been selling a lot. I think the shelf was getting a little bit empty this morning, but I know that we have some more in the back.
And we'll another, stock it up. There's don't worry.
There's an order, big order coming in today. Yeah. So
I imagine there would be too. Yeah. It's interesting. There's so many people that have wanted to. The opioid thing scared a lot of people.
Yeah.
And got a lot of people to not even want to use anything over the counter, or down to the point where they didn't even feel comfortable buying, you know, aspirin or and those kind of things. So people are looking for different ways. People are still going to be in pain. They're still dealing with pain and trying to find ways around that. And you've got a lot of people nowadays that are tired of just taking something to hide the pain. Like, it's not healing you. It's not helping or anything. It's just masking the pain.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Certain things, there's certain ailments that that's all you can do. Yes.
Right. Absolutely.
Having something like the products that Terry offers, specifically this one like that, I imagine you guys are not going to be having a lot of those on the shelves.
No, they sell.
More and more people go in that direction.
Yeah. And similarly, we have CBD oil on sale this month.
Yeah.
And a lot of people use that for pain. Some people use both of those together. CBD oil is great too. If somebody says, well, I have problems sleeping, I'm kind of stressed out, and I have chronic pain, then I'm like, well, let's try CBD.
Because
it kind of does all three of those. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what Katrina and I have talked about multiple times is, unlike the prescriptions or even the over-the-counters, the aspirins, the Tylenols you were just talking about that have a lot of side effects, a lot of these products have side benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, you're taking something for pain and, oh, you slept better last night. Well, isn't that great?
I know it's not a big part of our population, but there are people out there that have addictive personalities that have struggles with addiction. And I think of somebody like my dad, who my whole life was addicted to a drug. And then the last 20 years, he's been off that drug. Mm-hmm. But he's got all these aches, these pains, and he does not want to take an aspirin, let alone go and get a prescription for something or anything like that. Yeah. He does not want to take the chance of being, you know, hooked on something again or whatever. He works so hard to get away from it. So he's constantly looking for these things, like, what is out there that I can take that is not addictive? What is out there that I can take that isn't gonna, I don't have to worry about overdosing or these kind of things on and stuff. These kind of products are becoming more and more popular and becoming, like, they've been there for a long time. It's just finally people are starting to, that's right, I kick off the dust and I see it.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, there was a lady in yesterday and it was remarkable, and you would sympathize with this too, James, because you've found your own answers in your own direction, but this lady said she was a smoker for 40 years. She tried everything, like we've all heard. And she, you know, had a hard time quitting. And she tried this product called Cortisol Rescue from Terry Natural. Cortisol is what your body, it's something your body releases when you're really stressed. So people that are chronically stressed or chronically run down tend to have high cortisols. And I don't think this formula it might help for some chronic pain things or for people that have issues with chronic pain. But she took it because I don't actually know why she started taking it, but I got so lost.
I think because of cortisol. She took it because she was like, I feel like I'm so stressed and my cortisol levels are low.
Some people come in and buy it for weight loss too, because there's a lot of correlations between, you know, gaining weights, eating food because you're stress eating. And this formula just gets after that simple thing of stress. But anyways, I got so caught up on her results that I kind of got lost in this other thing where she said, like, yeah, I used this and I just was able to quit smoking. It was
for 40 years. She was smoking for 40 years.
Wow.
And something to help with balancing her cortisol. And then finally, you know, the desire to actually quit is what did it, which is amazing.
It was really cool. And she was really happy about it. And I was really happy to hear that and to share that story. And when you mentioned addictions, and I know, you know, you used essential oils, which I think, you know, it wouldn't be anything wrong with using both of these things. You'd probably spend, you know, $30, $40 and you'd come out, you know, a new person.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot better than spending, you know, the money you do on a daily basis on the nicotine.
Right.
And,
you know, and you're doing it in a positive way.
Yeah. You're basically paying to put yourself in the grave quicker.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you're doing. And being able to do something, spend that money in another way is definitely more positive.
I was really proud of this lady and even you, James, like, that it's hard to kind of overcome something you've had as part of your life, especially something addictive, and I was, you know, I was just really happy and
that lady's awesome.
She was a champion. I was like, this is great. You know,
it's
good for her.
Yes.
Anybody that quits, that is great. So pat yourself in your back.
We have to lift up those champions, and sometimes we all need to be our own champions. We need to find those those little examples in our community, in our friendships, in our families, and really celebrate those things.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know one of the main focuses right now is certainly our allergy, our sinuses, a lot of that. You guys want to talk about that next?
Hachoo. Yes, we do.
Bless you. Bless you.
That's a nice segue, too.
That's perfect.
So we are here to talk about allergy and sinuses, right? Because it's upon us, and it's going to come and be even more upon us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'd really want to talk about it as a preventative and then as a treatment kind of way, because you can really look at it in both ways. We have a couple different wonderful formulas. Do you want to highlight like the herbs, et cetera, one, and how you've taken it and other people do it sometimes as like the preventative side of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're kind of in that cusp, like Katrina said. I think a lot of people, this is kind of in the middle of the sinus season when it gets really dry, typically. People have a lot of sinus issues. And if you're one of those people who's every year you say, oh, in March or in April, I always have a sinus infection or I have this issue, that's where we kind of like to say, hey, come in and, you know, before that time, try taking something, you know, safe and natural, a natural supplement to reduce those sinus issues. And maybe Katrina can get into, you know, kind of how to, what those products are. But similarly with allergies, it always is most effective to start on it before they start. So if you're one of those people that says every spring, once the, you know, ragweed comes out or whatever your allergen is, for me, it's actually early in the spring when the snow sort of melts and you get that kind of mold that grows on the grass or sometimes even on the snow, it seems.
Yeah.
I tend to get allergies. It's kind of spontaneous. They're never too bad, but sometimes they're worse, sometimes they're better. And I just kind of know, you know, about this time of year, ideally, you know, a month or so before the season sort of starts, I try to take something for my allergies. And the one that Katrina mentions, we've actually had this this herbalist on the air with you, I think talking mostly about sleep formulas. But he's an herbalist in... It was in New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he made this great formula for allergies. And much like a sleep formula, this is the number one selling allergy formula in the country, according to Spin.
That's impressive.
Yeah, according to Spin's data. So, I mean, that's awesome. That obviously means it works. You know, like everybody, I buy this same product every year. It's not like I'm like, oh, is there something else? And we have some other things on the shelf, but this one's always worked so well. It's a two-part formula. There's these little soft gels, you know, tiny little footballs, easy to swallow.
And let me talk about those for just a second. Those are fresh pressed herbs, not dried. There's a difference. You're getting the fresh pressed. It's just like anything that's fresh is way better than the thing that's frozen or the thing that's dried. It's like the fresh pressed is so much more nutrients that really gives you that extra kick.
And he's the only person that's doing that in a soft gel, you know, like in something you don't have to taste. I guess I would say that. There's a few companies, also very few companies, but a couple companies that do fresh herbal extracts in like a tincture, like an alcohol tincture, a glycerin. Mm-hmm. And those are great too, but you have to taste those and they can be inconvenient. This is in a soft gel. I think he's the only person who did this and he's been doing it for years and it works great. And on the back, we have this nice little trial size. So if you just wanted to try it, you can do that. But it says, you know, for proactive, it says 2 months prior to seasonal changes, take one soft gel and one tablet with water twice a day. So that's just sort of getting your body prepared. Allergies are kind of when your body's immune system is overstimulated. You know, like when you have a cold, your immune system, or like mono is a great example, but when you have a cold, your body's immune system is really suppressed. Cancer patients often have a suppressed immune system. This is sort of the opposite. It's not exactly an autoimmune condition. It's like a hyperimmune
sort of thing. Body's like, oh my goodness, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I need to get it
what
out.
What can I do with
How
it? And
I
it
do
kind
it?
Of fights with itself even.
And you feel the fight, right? Your sneeze in the watery eyes, all of the things.
There's some clever ingredients like nettle, you know, like we've all, you know, as kids running through our backyards, we brushed against this plant that we got like this sting from, right? And it you know, it's kind of painful for an hour maybe.
That.
Yeah. So stinging nettle grows right here in Wisconsin. It's really good for allergies.
Yeah.
And the reason it's good, it's kind of clever. Stinging nettle has its own antihistamine in its plant to protect itself from its own poison.
Whoa.
Right? Isn't it amazing?
That is so dang cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, and then another fun fact about nettle.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was visiting my in-laws, and they had all the, in the spring, and all the pine trees were just like explosive with the pine. You could see the pine fog, and my two and a half year old at the time was just like watery eyes instantly when we got there, and I'm like, okay, they live on a lot of land. What do they have around? And so I harvested nettle, and I made her nettle tea, and she drank it like she was in love with it. So her body knew she needed it, and very significant difference after she drank a couple cups of it. She was just like, her eyes were better. She was still somewhat, you know, feeling the pollen and everything, but nettle is super powerful, and we have it around our yard, and this is a great time to start looking at what do you have around your property, right? Like Stephen's saying, the nettle, you can, you know,
you can make a great tea out of it. You know, handle it with gloves.
Yes, be careful. Be careful.
But I think maybe once it's dried, but certainly once it's made into a tea, it's not going to sting your throat or anything like that. But, you know, this is a convenient way, and it's so cool that nettle has this kind of antidote to its own toxin, that it kind of protects itself.
Man, that's so cool.
But, you know, if we use it as a medicinal herb, we get those benefits that, that nettle has.
Really I just will never get tired of these kind of things and hearing this kind of stuff. I love talking to you guys. I always learn stuff. That's so cool.
So next time we're going to go on radio, and when it's like a little more spring-like, we'll just take the mics, the whole setup with us. We're going to go harvest some dandelions and like
do some foraging.
We're going to make a little salad here.
Take the Morning Magazine on the road a little bit. But we'll just go outside. We go right down here by the river, right?
We'll find some stuff there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't mean to put us in a rabbit hole here or anything, but you did mention something in that conversation that I've been actually looking for an opportunity to address. I've had a couple listeners I've talked to, including during the remote we did with you guys, where I was talking to some guests and everything, or some clients that you guys have there. And this kind of came up in passing, and I never really got to follow up on it, but you mentioned the extract and leaves. And, and oftentimes, you know, most everybody nowadays looks at the back and ingredients of things. And I'm using this as an example just because I've come across it so much. But I take, when I from time to time, especially if I have a part I'm doing, I'll take Frodo Baggins. I'll take that.
Yes.
I always do. As in my head, I think of Frodo Baggins for some reason.
It's pretty much swallowable size.
Ginkgo, yes.
It's about that size. But I've noticed that there's certain ones that work for me and ones that don't. Now, that happens with all kinds of products. But I never thought about, well, looking at those ingredients and the difference of it's if it's an extract or it's a leave extract. Like, there's different types.
There's different properties of the plant. So,
Of the plant.
Dandelion is a great example of that. So there's dandelion leaves and then there's dandelion root. And they have different properties. So it kind of depends on what you're looking for. I will say for dandelion, for that example, there's an overarching theme within it, you know, circulation, digestion, things like
that. Cleansing.
Cleansing.
Yeah.
But there's going to be, the root is going to be, going to have different properties and different minerals to it, right? Because it's pulling different things.
Yeah. And then roots,
And the leaves will have a different property, maybe a little more bitters, which is good for digestion and other things like that.
Great for kidneys, too.
Yeah, kidneys. That's right.
It's a mild diuretic.
Yes. So it just depends on the plant. But yes, there are different properties of it. And then there are some plants you only want the root or you only want the flowers and things like that. So it just depends on really where you're going with that. Ask the questions. It's fun. If we don't know the answer, we love to dive into it a little bit more, too.
But this is the difference of going on a big box store or Amazon or something like that and just buying something. You go into Family Natural Foods, you can ask these questions. You can find out, hey, this is what I want, or this is what I'm trying to help and get better. How? What is the proper thing to take? If you just take what you Google or what have you, chances are you're not going to hit on the mark. You're not going to get what you're looking for here.
Or you spend like 45 minutes looking for it and you're still confused, you know?
Yes, I raise my hand. We do that.
I mean, even today I was like, oh, looking up something. It's like, nope, okay, I need to go to a different source. I need to go to us.
I apologize. I didn't mean to send us on a different path there. But it's an interesting thing. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things we have for allergies. So Stephen, the blend he was talking about is so good. It's allergy relief. And there's small sizes, like trial sizes, and then larger ones if you're really into it and liking it, and it's the allergy season. Other things we have like quercetin. We've talked about quercetin before. It's a great antihistamine. It's got vitamin C. A lot of them have it with it. good for respiratory, mm-hmm. but it's really good at fighting the inflammation, the histamines of the allergies. Mm-hmm. That's in the blend Stephen was talking about, but we do have it by itself. So yep. another great immune, it's a great one just to take for the immune yeah. season. But right now, especially if you're maybe not super prone to allergies, but a little bit, and you want to boost up your immune system, it's a great one to really hit too.
Yeah, yeah, a wonderful one.
Mm-hmm. And then Terry's got a sinus care formula. We have an extra strength and a regular. And we love this one. It's like ear, nose, throat stuff, right? So allergies sometimes for people is their throat. Mm. Sometimes yeah. it's their nasal passage, and you really can't hear them. Do you guys like that I'm doing the sneezing and the voices
today?
Today?
I'm okay. loving it. Yeah,
it's, I'm it's, here it's, for enjoy you.
It. We're gonna get back to old time radio where we do that.
I'm loving every
I'm
bit of this.
I'm walking into yes. the studio. Yes.
Get some coconuts. Yeah, yeah. 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 Then we're getting sound effects in the okay. show now. I love it.
Okay, great. So,
the side of care is really great too for people who have or have a tendency towards sinus infections.
Yes.
You know, and it can. I've had people who tried it when they were in the middle of a sinus infection, and it's worked. You know, for them too. But generally speaking, like. Again, if you know you're prone to that, just take it during that season.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on your calendar. What do you have, you have to do? And I think it's just a one a day or maybe two a day if you're wanting to do it mm-hmm. more intensively. We have some Pranaram essential oils that are specific for sinus. I use those all through the winter, even today, even, you know, probably for the next month or two, because it keeps my sinuses from getting super dry at night. And, you know, nosebleeds.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people use it for sinus infections. Thankfully, I haven't had that issue. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
One of those two formulas is a go-to.
And that's the beauty, is there's both. Different angles you can take with it. And then we have our own liquid tincture. It's sinus breakup. And this is fantastic. I like putting mine in water and then drinking it. Some people like to put it straight in their mouth. Jamie, who works at the store,
I'll wake you up.
She loves it, and it really, it's got a lot of good things to boost the immunity, but like keeping the allergies at bay. It's got a little bit of horseradish, not hot, spicy, but that's what opens the, if anyone's ever had sushi and they've had, you know, wasabi, it's not that intensive heat, but it really does open that sinus canal.
Oh, the salts that we used to use in football.
And
almost a spiciness to them or something. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll sell these by the handful. There's a couple people come in, they buy like three or four at a time. Like, mm-hmm. They don't want to be without it. Mm-hmm. When we get low, they get nervous.
Some people use it more for their throat and less their actual sinuses. But again, it's so interconnected, right? That sometimes it's more ear, sometimes it's more throat, sinus, all of that. And then lastly, I'll just briefly talk about one by Natural Factors, and it's lung, bronchial, and sinus health. But again, all of these are integrated, and it's got something called NAC, which we've talked about, mm-hmm. and acetylcysteine, great for respiratory health, great for, oh my gosh, this one I've looked up.
It's a long list.
It's a long list. I cannot keep track of liver. All the things.
That's
it
not
does.
Why it's in this formula, but it's great for your liver too.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that one also has the quercetin, right?
Yep, it has the quercetin bromelain in it because.
That's from pineapples.
Yep, and that's a good anti-inflammatory. Mullein, which is so good for. Like respiratory health.
That grows in your backyard.
Yeah, it does. Like another one we can go mm-hmm. look for on our tour. Wild cherry, which is just a good overall immune booster.
Respiratory. Yeah, that's great.
And marshmallow. So there's so many.
Not the sugary marshmallow.
Not the sugary marshmallow. The one that actually grows in nature. Again, we'll have to do that on
a
tour, I
definitely,
guess.
Definitely. Add it to the list. When it comes to this time of year, especially anybody, you know, 13 and under pretty much, ear infections are a thing too. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Are these products good for kids? Are there ones specifically for kids?
Yeah, there's certain ones. I guess I would, depending on the age, I'd maybe look more towards essential oils. Mm. For ear infections, I love basil essential oil, and you just put it on the outside of the ear. Mm. In fact, my almost 6-year-old, it was like, my ear kind of hurts. And I'm like, let's put the basil on.
Yeah.
She was instantly better. Mm-hmm. Well, not instantly, but like 30 minutes later, she had no complaints.
Mm.
And so...
Yeah, and we have like those ear oils that like I remember using when I was
so
a kid,
good.
You know, mm-hmm. and Katrina, like probably a 1 or 2 year old, you know, little earache, whatever. Like we use these for years, and they're just like made with garlic and
garlic, olive oil, golden seal. So it's got like antibacterial, antifungal.
Yeah.
And it really, it's soothing. It's awesome.
Usually we just put it in like our parents, you know, back in the day, or Katrina probably today with her kids would put it in our ears and then. With a little cotton ball. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when we woke up in the morning, our ears, or at least my ears, were at least like 50% better.
Mm-hmm.
And after 3 or 4 days, we didn't do it anymore. We just did a night Mm-hmm. It's so easy.
It's interesting how it doesn't seem like there's a lot of like care for our ears when mm-hmm. our hearing is so vital and important and such a part of our yeah. daily lives, right. and yet we don't have a lot of care or put a lot of thought into our ears and ear care, if mm-hmm. you will. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I always appreciate the time, you guys, and we always never have enough of it.
I know.
Wanted to remind people if they have questions or want to know more about some of the stuff we've talked about today, and encourage you to check out some of the great sales that they have going on over there. We just scratched the surface, you guys. There's yeah. so much more over there at Family Natural Foods. Encourage you to check things out. Go ahead and stop by over there. They have their doors open at 9 most days. 9 o'clock
every day.
Every mm-hmm. day, 9 o'clock.
Well, besides Sunday. Sorry, everyone.
Yes. visit them at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can give them a call at 423-3120. That's 423-3120. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, familynaturalfood.com, familynaturalfood.com, and do yourself a favor. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook. It's a great follow. Not only a good way to keep up with things over there, but you guys do the greatest videos and everything. You guys do some great stuff
Katrina's
over there.
Katrina's got some real entertaining ones
real
coming
good
your
stuff,
way.
Yeah. Those little ones.
Chef's Challenge?
I will. Yes. Good stuff. Very
good
stuff.
You
gotta
watch the Chef's Challenge.
Yes, you have to. You have to.
Lindley and Juna were really going for it.
So good. It was so good.
They're going to take over. We'll just probably stay in the car and say, okay, go to the radio.
I'll ride their coattails. Yes. I think those kids got charisma for days. Like, yeah. They're good kids. Appreciate the time, you two. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
We'll talk to you real soon. We will have more Morning Magazine for you coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's a whole new game with the Civic Media Network and our local stations carrying Badgers men's basketball in the Big Ten Tournament. Wisconsin takes on Ohio State this Wednesday with a 5:30 p.m. tip-off. WFHR 1320 a.m. 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station for the Badgers. In Richland Center, dial up WRCE 1450 a.m. or 107.7 FM. You'll also find Wisconsin on WLAK 1260 a.m. in Amory. Find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media, too? Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network. Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 40. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 28. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, chance for snow showers, highs level off around 36. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 33.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine for this March 6th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff here, and we are joined right now by our good friends from Encourage. In studio, we have Betsy Wood with us. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Good to see you as always. And Dawn Newman.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Dawn. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We also want to welcome in some other guests for us. Joining us on the phone, we have Joanna C. and Jess Remington. Good morning. Oh, good morning, ladies there.
Yes, good morning.
Hello, Joanna C. and Jess Remington joining us on the phone. Thank you so much for joining us, you two. How's everybody doing?
Great. Thank you for having us. Doing great this morning.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. And really do appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to talking with you both. We're going to do that in just a second. Betsy, Dawn, I was wondering if you guys could give us a brief intro and help us connect, encourage in our community and where we're going to be going with the conversation today.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I'm so pleased to have Jess and Joanna join us today. They are the authors, co-authors of Beloved Economies, and Encourage has been so honored to be part of one of the many collaborators of the book with Jess and Joanna. And they have done over 7 years of research putting this book together. And you talk about Encourage is about philanthropy, about the love of people. And it's not just what we do, but how we do things. And this book, Beloved Economies, really relays that message so well. And I'm hoping that Jess and Joanna can give a little bit of background about themselves and how they met as well. But Jess and Joanna reached out to Encourage many years ago in part of the Tribune Building project that we were working on at the time, and the collaboration and the research and the getting the community involved in a different way of how we can build economy in the area. And so that's where we first started working with Jess and Joanna. And they came to Encourage as visiting scholars with the Stanford University's Global Project Center. And they connected with us at that time. So if Jess and Joanna, if you don't mind giving a little bit of background, or Dawn, if you have anything that you want to share as well.
If you wanted to add anything, Dawn.
Sure. I think to continue on that journey, actually in 2019, this work led them to work closely with Encourage and actually with more than 100 of our residents in co-creating a toolkit for gathering information in support of our region and having a sustainable community. So that work then led into the book as well. So we've worked with them on multiple fronts.
Very cool. Joanna, Jess, I want to tell you right out the gate, the great people at Encourage let me read your book and gave me a copy that I found out was my copy. So thank you both again, and thank you, Encourage. I don't want to lie to you guys or the audience. Like, I read the book inside and out. I read through the majority, quite a bit of it. I will read the whole thing because it really pulled me in. As a writer myself, I'm frustrated by you two. You're both very good authors, and that frustrates me. I wanted to start off right out the gate, getting to know you two a little bit. Can we do that? Can we get your origin story real quick? Joanne, I'll start with you.
Sure, and thank you for what you said about the book. And it takes a village to write a book, so not a lot of support. I grew up in California in what has since become Silicon Valley, and I saw the transformation of my town as Silicon Valley began to boom in my young and teenage years, and it was very interesting and exciting, and it also left me with a lot of questions about who was benefiting and who was being left out from the kind of, quote, you know, progress and development happening. And I also had a formative experience early on the California border, again, kind of thinking about what is our current system, who does it let in and who does it keep out in terms of shaping what development and economy is. And I think my family was supportive of me following those questions. And I worked on more social justice oriented work for many years in groups trying to stop really destructive projects like huge dams and mines that threatened their community, and thinking about different alternatives that could be more of a, you know, genuine win-win. And I guess, long story short, looking at those questions is what planted the seeds of the kind of root question behind the Beloved Economies book for me. Isn't there a way actually that isn't just, you know, just, but is actually just the smarter way to do business and genuinely better for all?
Feels kind of full circle for you a little bit, from that little girl noticing those things to the adult now being able to talk about them.
Yes, it does.
That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that, Joanna. Jess, how about yourself?
Sure. So I grew up in rural Massachusetts in a small town in a working class family that ran small businesses, from first a video tape store before Blockbuster came in and decimated us, to doing some deep sea fishing, to then carpentry, and grew up in a family that was trying to make it work through a variety of different endeavors. And you know, the focus in my family growing up was to get me to school, basically, and get me to college. And was first gen college, and I had this really interesting set of experiences once I left my small town, of kind of reflecting on the way in which I had seen my family operate in small business culture, and what it is to be a small business in a small, to run a small business in a small town, and how much of that is based on relationship. And in a way, like, even though I don't think my family thought about it this way, practices of sharing decision-making authority, and because, you know, your employees are your neighbors, your clients are your neighbors. So there's a way of having to work together that is less anonymous. And then when I started pursuing education outside of where I came from, and saw that a lot of what I was told, like, was how the economy worked, or what was, you know, proper business, actually didn't make a lot of sense to what I saw working where I came from. And got involved in economic justice work, largely because I think I just saw a lot of injustice growing up around the economy as it related to my community and my family, and wanted to understand more what shared liberation looked like when it came to class as well as racial justice, and what that means for all of our work within that as a collective in this country. And then became really interested and obsessed, basically, with how do we make the internal operations of our organizations, whether they're nonprofits, philanthropy, or small business, like the background I saw growing up, how do we make them operate with the future we want? And why are we just copying and pasting practices, you know, from an MBA without examining, like, what's actually working in small towns and what's actually working in big towns, but in our communities, our human communities. So that's what brought me to the work of Beloved Economy.
Thank you both so much for sharing that. That is really cool, really interesting, and I think very really adds to the conversation here, because we have two people from literally the opposite coasts, and when we're talking economy, we have to talk about the whole economy. It's going to be different for every zip code. It's going to be a little different for every area. So being able to have that kind of context to bring into the conversation is fantastic. And your guys' names sound really good together, Joanna, Jess. It just sounds really good together. It sounds like a pop band. It really does. It flows really nicely. So that worked out well too. And you're both incredibly.
That's why we became friends.
Yes. It's got to be. It's why we always do. Not only incredible authors, but very insightful also. And very, very much appreciate that part of being able to bring things to this conversation and to the book. And I want to get into the book with you a little bit more. We've got to take like a minute commercial break. And I don't even want to take, to be honest with you. I just want to keep talking to you both. But we'll take that break. We'll come back. And I'd like to find out a little bit more about the book and how it ties into our area here. We'll do that with our friends from Beloved Economics, the authors of that, and our friends from Encourage right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 40 this afternoon under overcast skies, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 28. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, chance for snow showers, daytime highs approaching 36. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR on this March 8th. We are speaking with our friends from Encourage. We have both Betsy and Dawn with us, and we have Joanna and Jess with us, the authors of Beloved Economics. And that's what we're going to dive into right now. And for you two, the first question I have is, what is the major takeaway from all the research behind the book, and why is it so timely right now?
Well, I'm happy to jump in here first, Joanna, and pass to you.
Sure, go for it.
So I think the major takeaway from my point of view is that the way we work matters, and how we work in our organizations and businesses and companies makes up the economy. So if we want to change the economy alongside levers that are more top-down and all the important work and labor organizing or thinking about things that the government can do, both nationally and regionally, for economic interventions. Alongside that, it's also important to not forget that we as workers, we as staff, we as community residents that interact with our organizations and businesses can change the economy as well, by changing the way in which we operate together, because the path we're walking creates the future, right? It creates the next day, creates the organizations we are within. And what we found in our research is that one of the that's a lever we can pull, and that one of the most effective ways to pull that, to have greater economic resiliency and to build perhaps the economies we all most want, that could feel like love, that could take care of us, is to think about sharing power differently. How do we share and work together and collaborate in ways that really democratize our ability to design and dream and make decisions together?
I think the power part of the conversation is so interesting, and I think it's so noteworthy too, because I don't think that's something that we always think about, but it definitely comes into play with this. That's a really interesting point. Thank you for that. Joanna, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I was just going to say, you know, Don and Betsy mentioned it was quite a while ago that we first met, so we started the research in 2015, and we didn't know at the outset it was going to go on so long, but because it did go on for 7 years, we saw this surprising trend in the data over time, that the different groups that we were looking at that had really profoundly departed from business as usual in their respective fields in ways that shared power differently, and were being successful despite their non-business-as-usual ways of operating, they were creating ripple effects. They were changing norms in their sector. They were changing what could be on the table as policy, you know, all kinds of things like that. And that's what really sparked this takeaway that Jess was speaking to of, you know, reimagining on our teams how we work together is a powerful lever for change. And James, you asked, why is this timely right now? And in our conversations, not just with folks involved in the book, but also readers and people who are starting to respond to the book and broader campaign around it, this, like right now, 2023 is a really ripe time to be thinking about this, because we're all, you know, starting to emerge from the pandemic, thank goodness, have a bit more bandwidth. But it is still very fresh that we all just witnessed, wait, we actually can change the rules of business as usual, like en masse overnight. Right. We have more latitude than we think we do to change how we work. And what if we now seize that and, you know, lean into that latitude we have and get really imaginative with our teams about how we want to make our work and our little workplaces more of an example of the future economies we want to be a part of.
Both great feedback, great comments and great feedback from both of you. You mentioned you started working on this in 2015, certainly a different time, a different world. And it's so funny to say that because it wasn't even 10 years ago. But it's a different climate at the time when you start this book. In that process, of course, as you mentioned, we've had a pandemic. But through that, one of the, I believe, silver linings to come out of that is we've seen much more the power going to the employee. Much more of that. We see people nowadays, instead of just wanting to do a job until they retire, I want a career. Or instead of just, maybe I make a buck or two less, but I'm my own boss. I have an Etsy shop. I'm on eBay. We're seeing much more independence from employees and a lot of that. Do you think that has, that those two, what you're talking about there and the fact of that happening, that there is a correlation there?
Yes, I think there's a huge opportunity.
Opportunity is a better word. Yeah. Good thing I don't talk for a living.
No, what you said is exactly correct. I think. I mean, it depends on what we do with it, right? I think it's a moment for collective organizing. It's a moment to ask ourselves, what is our expectation of work? What's our expectation of the workplace as workers? And the more options there are, right, the more it can feel like we can demand more. People kind of like make fun of these trends, right, of like quiet quitting and let's say the Gen Z TikTok phenomena of the soft life of just wanting to like ease into and live into like, let's take a nap. I just want to build my life to feel like it cares for me, right? But also like, wow, why is that being kind of giggled at or whatever? Like that's, there's a primary core concept there of like, why are we not asking and demanding of our economy and therefore our workplaces, a world experience day to day that cares for us and allows us to nourish not only our basic needs, but to really allow our families and our communities to thrive. And that's not, there is enough money around the table to make that happen, right? So it's just about how we structure ownership and how we think about where the benefits from our companies and organizations are going. And that's, it seems like the more we demand that we open up the table to include all voices and all people, not only in creating better quality by having everyone's ideas around the table, but also in making decisions about, where do we want the benefit that we're creating as workers to go? And let's make sure those returns are coming back to us too. Yeah. I think that what you're speaking to is giving us more latitude to maybe wake up to demanding different.
We're talking about the book Beloved Economics, Transforming How We Work from Jess Remington and Joanna L.C. And
it's the Beloved Economies.
Beloved Economies. Did I say economics? I'm so sorry. I apologize. Okay. I apologize. Lucky this isn't live. I can fix it all. It is live. Never mind. Wisconsin Rapids features strongly in this book. Rapids, we love the fact that it's represented in this book so much. Can you tell us about how you all became connected to Encourage and the residents here? We've touched on this a little bit and everything. Is there any more details of that we can tell the audience? Because I think it's a very cool relationship that was formed here, that was created kind of organically.
Sure. I can hop in first on this one, Jess. So we, early on in the research in 2015, one of the initial questions we started looking at is we asked, are there, quote, bright spots? Are there shining examples of groups, whether they're companies or nonprofits or government agencies, whatever type of group they are, that is departing from business as usual and really casting a wider net in terms of who's around the table making decisions, shaping solutions, shaping products, and being really successful at doing that? And we asked tons of different people in tons of different sectors that question, and three different groups from very different points pointed us to what was happening at the time with Encourage. And it was the beginnings, the Tribune building, the design process had just recently happened that engaged so many residents. And we reached out to the Encourage team, who very graciously responded for an interview. And we were just riveted by hearing what was happening, both what was happening with the process, what the process was in response to. And we also just felt a real kindred connection with a number of folks on the team, and it felt like we were all thinking about some similar big questions. And we had the opportunity to visit in person. And then Don mentioned we actually decided to collaborate and roll up our sleeves together on a project in subsequent years, and were able to meet and learn from and work with a lot of residents. And those conversations that we had over the years were really pivotal in Jess and my thinking about connections between changing the way we work, changing our economy, shifting our economy from one of extraction and often community wealth extraction to communities that are thriving and being replenished by the work. And just feel really thankful from what we learned and the brave and thoughtful questions folks were willing to share with us again and again.
More data.
I don't know if you'd add anything to that.
Beautifully said.
More data is going to lead to better results and better answers. And so, something that I think Jess was touching on a bit, too, with representation, more people being brought to the table. Instead of just this and this person that live in these bubbles, we've got all these people coming to the table. You have all that data, all that information, and it's going to make our economy stronger just by the law of math, of science, of these things, let alone making our community stronger, more connected. You have a great example right here in this conversation. You have two people, again, from different sides of the country who come together to do this book, and then you guys, you start working with the gang from Encourage here in central Wisconsin, and we have different parts of our country coming together to help our economy, the whole economy. It's how this stuff happens. It's how we make a better world for ourselves and for our kids going forward. I purposely did this and waited to the end of the conversation to bring up something that would take us like a half an hour to talk about, because we are talking about a book, and I want to encourage people to read the book. So I wanted to bring up the seven practices. It's one of the things that I thought was very noteworthy in the book, and something that I thought was really cool. What can we tell people about the seven practices and encourage them to read the book, of course?
Well, I mean, so one of the really interesting outcomes of the research was we didn't know whether the organizations and companies we had been following over these 7 years, initially, we didn't know if they would have commonalities amongst them. We knew that they'd all changed their way of working in some way that was producing an impact and change that they really valued as teams, as communities. And when we dug into that together as a shared community of practice, what we called a co-learning community, we realized that there was some really striking commonalities. And in fact, it was almost, there was like a code for how to change work in alignment with the things that these organizations and businesses wanted to value for the economy that they thought was possible. And there were seven practices that they all did. They had different terminology for it. They came from diverse industries, but they all shared decision-making power, had relationships. They reckoned with history. They seeked difference. They sourced from multiple ways of knowing. They trusted their time, and they prototyped early and often. So those are the seven practices. There's information online about them. You know, you don't have to read the whole book to learn about them. We just want this information out there. And also, the book has not only a lot of information about Wisconsin Rapids and Encourage and what we saw about these practices and this community, and also communities around the country. So if you want to dig into it, go get the book.
Nicely done. Nicely done. If people want to know more about not only the book itself, but, you know, your guys' work and some of those things, is there, where can we send people to learn more?
Sure. Folks can go to belovedeconomies.org, and there's info about the book, the campaign, folks behind it there. Mm-hmm.
It's a great website, by the way. You guys do a great job with that page. It's a very nice website.
Well, thank you.
It's been really good talking with you, too. Thank you so much for the time. There is a catch. You did too good. We're going to have to bring you back sometime. You were too good of an interview. It's your own fault. You're too good. So you have to join us again sometime. Please do. And keep up the great work, you two. Whether it's together or not, keep up the great work. You're both great writers, great minds.
Thank you so much. And thank you to the Encourage team for creating this opportunity, and just we're so thankful to be connected to Wisconsin Rapids and the community there.
If you guys want to come to town, please feel free to. We'd love to have you. All right? Thank you both for the time again. You take care.
Thank you. We've been around a lot, so we'll definitely come
back. Yeah, come on back. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the time. And for Betsy, Dawn, I wanted to thank you guys not only for setting up the interview there and us getting the chance, our audience, to get the chance to get to know them and talk with them a little bit, but certainly for the work that Encourage does for our community. These two noticed something that we here in town have been noticing for a long time, that Encourage puts back into the community. Encourage believes in raising up our community, and we appreciate that very much. Also getting to talk to great people like that. That's